Amen. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles? We're going to look at one verse there. Father, I thank you so much for today. This is the day that you have made. And I choose to rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what anyone else says. No matter what the world says or the devil tries to put in your head, I choose. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I like David. I like him. I like the way he said that. I was really glad. And so, Father, I pray that you'll have your way in our hearts today and let the words that we hear, let the meditations of our heart and our mind be pleasing to you, God. As we meditate on this word together with your people, help us, God, to understand together why we do what we do and why we worship who we worship. That we have a sure foundation, a solid rock that we stand on. So help us to understand. Let your Holy Spirit speak to every heart here this morning. We just give you thanks and praise. And for we ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Every day there are literally thousands of Christians who visit the Holy Land in Israel. And everyone who visits there says it doesn't take long to figure out the two most important people to choose when you go there. And they are your guide and your bus driver. And those two people are very important. And the story of a pastor who visits Israel nearly every year, and he has a particular bus driver that he requests each time he visits there. And this guy is like family to him. He always invites him to visit America and stay with him at his home if he ever is able to do so. And driver is just a sweet guy, kind, as gentle a human being as could ever be. And he's also a Muslim. And every time this pastor is getting ready to leave Israel after his trip, he grabs his interpreter and he walks over to the driver, and the driver begins to smile because he knows what's coming. And that preacher shares the gospel of Jesus with him and explains to him all over again a story that he's heard many, many times, how Jesus died for his sins, how he was raised from the dead and wants to come into his life and save him and give him eternal life. And in all the times this driver has heard the gospel, as of right now, he's never responded to the gospel. He just nods his head and smiles. Then they give each other a big hug and kiss each other on the cheek, and they leave each other while the pastor prays silently for this man to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Why would he do that? Why? Why would someone fervently pray and desire that a Muslim bus driver in Israel become a follower of Jesus Christ? And as you can imagine, it actually begs a question which, depending upon how you answer, either brings a smile and a nod of affirmation from most people that you know, or can get you very quickly into a heated argument or an intense debate. And I said we're going to conclude this series that we've called The Difference Maker, where we're asking or answering actually questions that people said they would have liked to ask probably one of the most popular ladies in the world, whose name is Siri. That one. And she lives in your smartphone. We've been telling you that for 3 weeks now. And she can, you know, she can answer really the mundane questions, you know, that deal with everyday life. What's the weather going to be like tomorrow, you know? What time is the game, you know? I don't know if she could tell me if the Yankees are going to win today or not. I don't know that. But, you know, she can answer those kind of questions. But we came up with a list of questions that people would like to ask her. If they knew she could give the answer, but we know she can't. So we let her off the hook, and we're letting God, through his word, answer those questions. Is that okay? All right. So So there's one question many people said they would like to ask, which is this, and I put it in your notes. How can Christianity be right and all the other religions be wrong? And so I titled this message, you know, let's get serious, because we're going to get serious about this today. How can Christianity be right and all the other religions be wrong? And of course, I realized that question begs another question. Is Christianity even right? That's obvious. Obviously, that's the reason why I share the gospel with other people. Because I believe that only the Christian faith that is found in the Bible is right. That's my stand. I believe that only the Christian faith found in the Bible is right. Now, trust me, I realize that I just made probably the most incorrect, politically incorrect statement that you ever heard. I know that. I realize that at best, that statement will make a lot of people feel unsettled or, you know, whatever. And a lot of people will just get bent out of shape because I said that, or get very inflamed or whatever. And I realize that there is increasing disagreement with that kind of a perspective, if that's the perspective you have, that only the Christian faith found in the Bible is the right one. Of course, we have prophetesses like Oprah Winfrey, who says, and I quote, "One of the biggest mistakes we make is to believe that there's only one way to live. There are many ways, many paths to what you call God." Another great religious thinker, Madonna, said, she thinks she is. She says that, I quote, "I do believe that all paths lead to God. It is a shame that we end up having religious wars because so many of the messages are the same." So we got that voice out there. I told you about George Barna and his surveys, and he took the survey of Americans and found out that 2 out of every 3 American adults said that all religions basically teach the same thing. 4 out of every 10 Americans said that when Christians, Jews, and Buddhists or others pray to their God, they're actually praying to the same God, just using different names. That's what people are believing. There's only one minor problem with all of those viewpoints. They're just flat wrong. Okay, that's simple enough. I'm going to explain to you why in just a few minutes. So let me make sure that we understand some things that we all can agree on. First of all, there are certain truths in other religions besides Christianity. There are certain truths. For example, in Buddha's Eightfold Path, it's called, there is an appeal to pursue honesty, charity, service, and to abstain from murder, that's always good, and lust, that's always good too. Orthodox Judaism and Islam believe in a personal creator and in one God. Other religions affirm that Jesus was a great prophet and a great teacher. So we affirm that Christianity does not have a monopoly on all truths. We also believe that we should certainly have what's called a charitable tolerance towards all religions. However, it does not mean that you agree that all religions teach the same thing, nor that all religions are equally true. Okay? Tolerating a wrong belief by refusing to say it's wrong is in itself wrong. Okay? That makes sense? Tolerating a wrong belief by refusing to say it's wrong is in itself wrong. If someone has a disease that could kill them and refusing to tell them that they need to seek medical attention is wrong. Okay? We should tolerate what is tolerable. We should all tolerate one another's faith and the right to practice it, but we are not to tolerate the faith that their faith may be wrong. Okay? And this is where we encounter the big problem. This is where the problem comes in. All right? With all this, I'm going to say this. All religions are not the same. They don't teach the same thing. They don't have the same concept of God. And upon further review, we find that religions teach basically three things about God. On the one hand, some religions teach that there are many gods. Hinduism teaches that many gods are what they call devas, or D-E-V-A-S, devas. They exist in the world. Many gods. On the other hand, Buddha rejected Hinduism, not by proposing that there was only one God, but rather by rejecting belief in God altogether. And then you have Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, who all teach that there is one God, yet even here, there is radical disagreements, because Jews do not believe their God is the Muslim God, and neither Muslims nor Jews believe that Jesus Christ is God, but Orthodox Christians do. Both Jews and Christians believe that Jesus died on a cross, but Muslims don't. Neither Jews nor Muslims believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, but Christians do. Now, we have to face up a couple of hard truths. On the one hand, all the religions in the world can't be right. On the other hand, all the religions in the world can't be wrong. Are you with me? All right. Unless there is no God. If there's no God, then they're all wrong. Right? Okay. Furthermore, no matter what belief system that you choose to adopt, you're going to be saying your system is right and all the billions of other people who don't accept it, they're wrong. If Islam is correct, Christianity is wrong. If Orthodox Judaism is correct, billions of Gentiles are wrong. If those who say they all believe the same thing and they're all going to the same God and it doesn't matter what's right, then billions of Christians, Jews, and Muslims who believe that their faith is the only faith is right, they're all wrong too. Okay? Now we have to face the question, how do you choose? How do you choose which religion to follow, and how are you going to justify whatever choice you make? How are you going to do that? Well, if there are many gods, then there can't be just one God. And if there's one God, then there can't be many gods. All right? There's a dilemma here. If there is no God at all, then there can't be neither one God nor many. Somebody has to be right. Somebody has to be wrong. One belief has to be right. The other beliefs have to be wrong. Now, I'm not the first person who, or the first Christian, or the first proclaimer of the gospel to make this kind of a claim. Okay? I want to take you back about 2,000 years to a man who grew up believing fervently in one religion, only to change course to another faith, and immediately began to declare that not only his own faith, but all other faiths were mistaken. His name was Peter. And in the book of Acts, that you turn to, chapter 4, he was talking to a group of religious men. He was talking to Jews who used to be his heroes, who felt that they alone had the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's what they believed. But he made one statement. Peter made one statement that will forever draw a line between Christianity and every other religion or religious faith that would ever exist. Are you there? Acts chapter 4, look at verse 12. Here's what Peter said. Here it is. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Is that what it says in your Bible? Something very close to that. Look at your neighbor. Make sure your neighbor has that underlined in their Bible. If they don't, underline that in your neighbor's Bible. They have that. Here it is. It's got to be underlined right there in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Okay? And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Listen to what that statement asserts. It doesn't just make the claim that Christianity is right and all the other religions are wrong. The claim is greater than that. I put it in such a way as your key phrase, your key takeaway in your notes, and it says this: a relationship and not a religion is the only way to God. You think you can remember that, nothing else? A relationship and not a religion is the only way to God. For Peter to make this claim, there has to be something unique in Christianity and something unique in the Christian faith that would give us a reason to stake our very lives and our very eternity and our very destiny on Christianity and on Christianity alone. Something's got to be there. What is it that makes it so unique and so compelling for us to become followers of Jesus Christ? Like Peter would say to the entire world, this is the only way to God. This is the only way to God. So how do I do it? What do I do? How do I prove it? How do I justify it in my own heart? Number one, are you ready? We should choose Christianity because of one person. Because of one person. That's why we should choose Christianity. The biggest obstacle to anyone who says that all paths lead to God, all religions are the same, is a person named Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He is what we call the fly in the ointment. He is the square peg in the round hole. No other founder of any faith has ever claimed to be who Jesus claimed to be or do what Jesus came to do. Jesus is the only one who claimed to be the Son of God and claimed to be God in the flesh. He's the only founder of any faith that accepted the worship of his followers. He's the only one who claimed that he died not for himself, but for the sins of the whole world. Neither Muhammad, nor Buddha, nor Krishna, nor any other spiritual leader has ever died for anyone else but themselves. Not one of them ever claimed to have lived a sinless life except Jesus. None of them except Jesus performed miracles like healing the sick and raising the dead. None of them except Jesus. Muhammad was a man and never claimed to be anything but a man. Buddha was a man and never claimed to be anything but a man. Jesus claimed to be both God and man. If you have ever gone to Buddha and said, are you the son of, what is it, Brahma, whatever? Are you the son of Brahma? He would have said, my son, you are still in the veil of illusion. Yeah, I laugh too. If you had gone to Socrates and said, are you Zeus? He would have laughed you right off the stage. If you'd have gone to Muhammad and asked, are you Allah? He would have torn his clothes and cut your head off. Christianity alone is centered around a person. Every other religion is based on the teaching of their founder and who they claim God to be. Christianity is based on the acts of Jesus and who he claimed to be. Okay? This is the biggest problem that a Christian has, to have people who say that all religions are equal or all religions basically teach the same thing. If that is true, then Peter is a liar when he said salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. He's a liar. If that's true, then Paul the Apostle is a liar. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, he said, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men. Who? The man, Christ Jesus. Then Paul's a liar. And then, wait a minute, then Jesus himself is a liar. Because Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, and the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And if everybody is teaching the same thing, and everything, then They're all lying. Simply put, either Christianity is true and every other religion is false, or at least one other religion is true. But if that's true, then Christianity must be false. What does it say? It says you simply can't have your cake and eat it too. Okay? So, we should choose Christianity because of one person. Secondly, we should choose Christianity because of one place. One place. Listen, who was this Jesus that Peter's talking about? Who was he? Why would he even be referring to someone who just a few weeks ago had been crucified on a cross as a common criminal? Why would he be referring to this guy? It's because of a place that he had been to and seen with his own eyes. That place was an empty tomb. It was an empty tomb. It was because he had met the person who had been buried in that tomb, that had been raised from the dead from that tomb, and his name is Jesus. All right? See, most religions, and there are about 270 religions around the world, are built on philosophies. The four major world religions are built on personalities. Judaism claims as its founder that its founder was Abraham, right? In 1900 BC, Abraham died. He was buried. And physically, he's still dead. You know, when I knew I was going to go through Judaism and so forth, my mind went back to John chapter 8. I had to reread John chapter 8 when I talked about Judaism, because in John chapter 8, Jesus was talking to them, talking to the Pharisees, talking to religious leaders about a lot of things. He talked to them about the woman caught in the act of adultery. He talked to them about, I am the light of the world, and so forth. Then he came to this part of his speech, and they were tolerating what Jesus was saying in John chapter 8. You need to read that sometime this week. It'll really bless you. One of my favorite chapters in all of the Gospel of John. But I remember, and I read it again, where they were talking about how they were boasting about, Abraham is our father. Abraham is our father. You don't even know who your father is, and so on and so forth. Remember reading that? And then they said, Jesus said to them, you know what? Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. And they said, what? You're not even 50 years old. And you say, Abraham, you saw Abraham? Abraham saw you? And then Jesus made this incredible statement. He says, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, ego eimi, I am. They went crazy. He said, I am. That means you are God, because that's the name. That's the name that God gave to Moses in the burning bush when he said, who shall I say sent me? What's your name? He said, God said, just tell him I am that I am. And by Jesus saying, truly, I am, just I am. What did they do? That was the time that they picked up stones. They wanted to stone him. And he fled out of the temple. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Jesus saying to a bunch of Jews, the name, ego eimi, I am. That just blessed me. I'm sorry. It really, really just got to me that Jesus would make that kind of a statement. Only he could. So Judaism's founder was Abraham. He died. He's still dead. Buddha was founded by Buddha himself. And in 477 BC, he died. He was buried. And I think physically he's still dead. Islam was founded by Muhammad in 632 AD. He died. Was buried at Medina, where his tomb is visited. We know that by thousands of devout Muslims every year. And physically, he's still dead. Jesus is the founder of Christianity. He died, was buried, but he came back from the dead and is still alive today. And the empty tomb is the game changer. That's the game changer right there. Someone rightly said, Christianity begins where other religions end, with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the core. That's the guts of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A lot of people went to the cross, and I know Jesus went to the cross, and I know what he did for me at the cross. But no one ever rose from the dead to say, here I am, this is me. But he did. And he's alive. I read a story about a Buddhist man in Africa who was befriended by a missionary, and he began to share the gospel with him, and eventually he surrendered his life to Christ and became a follower of Jesus Christ. And when he was asked why he changed his faith, he said this. He said, if you're walking along and you come to a fork in the road and there are two men there, one is dead and the other is alive, which man's directions are you going to follow? Pretty smart guy, huh? Which one, you know? See, that's why I said it many times, and I'll say it again and again and again. I made my decision by casting my vote for the one who came back from the dead. Anybody else? You going to cast your vote on the one who came back from the dead? I am. I heard it said this way. Anyone who can predict their own death and resurrection and pull it off, you better pay attention to that guy. Amen? All right. You should choose Christianity because of one person. You should choose Christianity because of one place. And finally, you should choose Christianity because of one principle. One principle. It was during a British conference that various religions of the world, scholars were debating what belief, if any, was totally unique to the Christian faith. Was it, what one? Was it incarnation? You know, gods of other religions appearing in human form or whatever? Was it resurrection? What was it? What was it? And the debate went on until C.S. Lewis walked in the room. They looked at C.S. Lewis and they said, Dr. Lewis, what is the one thing that is totally unique to the Christian faith? You know what Dr. Lewis said? He said, that's easy. It is grace. It's grace. Christianity is the only faith that says that a relationship with God, that salvation, that being right with God is a gift that you received by God's grace. You got it? Every other religion has their own concept of a savior. Buddhists say, you save yourself by ceasing all desire. Hindus say, you save yourself by detaching yourself from your ego and try to live in unity with the divine forces of the universe. Boy, I got a taste of that this past summer. People worshiping right here in our park, the divine forces of the universe, almost threw up. That's what they were doing. Islam says you save yourself by living a good life, by living a life of good deeds and hoping good outweighs bad. Orthodox Judaism says you save yourself through repentance, prayer, and obeying the law. Every other religion says if you need a savior, you are it. Christianity comes along and says, you need a savior, but you are not it. You can't be it. God has done for you what you cannot do for yourself. He has given you a savior, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He's given you a savior. Every other religion is based on your performance. Whether you have a relationship with God or not, whether you can get to God or not, or whether God will accept you or not, is based on your performance. What will you do? What are you doing? Christianity is not based on performance. Christianity is based on acceptance. Accepting what God has done for you through Jesus Christ on the cross. And realizing that through Jesus Christ, God will accept you. There's a difference between performance and acceptance. You can never perform enough to be pleasing to God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Otherwise, if we can do it ourselves, then why did God even have to send his son into the world? It's foolish for him to do that. But he knew better. Amen? Every other faith says you have to work your way to God. Christianity says God wants to work his way to you. Amen. And here's the earth-shattering truth about Christianity. Here it is. Christianity does not teach that only Christians deserve to go to heaven. They don't teach that. Christianity teaches that nobody deserves to go to heaven. And nobody will ever deserve to go to heaven. The only way you can get to heaven is by the grace of God. You believe that? I do. Yeah, yeah, give the Lord a hand. Because of His grace, you can go to heaven, and so can I. Not by anything you do, not by works of righteousness at all, because we all fall short. Amen? It's going to be a short message today, because I want you to close your Bibles right now. I want to just say something to you that I want to hold for last, and it goes all the way back to what I told you in the beginning of the message, but I kind of want to say it in a different way. Here it is. Christianity is not a religion. Okay? Let's understand that together. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with a risen Savior and Lord. That's what it is. When someone asks you, what denomination are you? Well, I'm a Christian. Well, what is that? What religion is that? It's not. Christianity is a relationship. I have a relationship with the risen Savior who is my Lord. Now, I want you to imagine something with me. Imagine if you are offered a choice of four gifts. One, if somebody said, I'll give you the original Mona Lisa. How's that? Millions, worth millions. Or someone says, I'll give you the keys to a brand new Ferrari. Pastor Appreciation Day must be. That'll be good. You know. Just throw it out there. How about $10 million in cash? We could build a new church, a gymnasium. Or four, a parachute. If you could pick just one, which one would you choose? But before you decide, here's some information that will help you make the only real choice that you should. You have to jump 10,000 feet out of an airplane. Well, it makes the choice pretty easy, doesn't it? Yeah. The only thing that will save you from the force of gravity and the fall from that airplane is a parachute. Every one of us stands on the edge of eternity. One of these days we're all going to die. We will all have to jump out of the plane of life through the door of death. And the question is, will we land safely? Will you land safely? Every other religion says you've got to make your own parachute. But since you're not perfect, the parachute may fail. And you won't know whether it does or not until you jump. Christianity says God made the parachute and He never fails. He never fails. And He's given it to you. By grace, by His grace, He's given it to you. And an empty tomb guarantees that you will land safely with the one who died for you and the one who was raised from the dead. That empty tomb guarantees it. Amen? So my simple response to the question of the day is this. Here it is. There's just nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like my Jesus. Amen? I didn't put this in your notes because the Lord gave me this verse. I asked Ron to put it on the screen. It's Psalms chapter 9, verse 10. I just want to read it to you. Here's what it says. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. The New Living Translation says, for you do not abandon those who search for you. And I thought, how beautiful that is. Those who know your name. How many know His name? His name is Jesus. Amen? You know what I said? I titled the message, Let's Get Serious. And before our praise team comes, if you know me that well, if you know me at all, I can't be serious through the whole thing. So I thought of how am I going to close this message? And I called up Ron yesterday and I said, Ron, I'm going to be talking about different religions. And I said, I wanted to know if he knew a song that when we were saved in the mid-70s, in the later 70s, we used to listen to the Imperials a lot and the Gaithers and so forth. And this song was a big hit. And some of you young kids, you weren't even born then, I know that. But this is the kind of stuff that we cut our teeth on. So, Ron, I want to hear that nice and loud. And if you know the song, I'd like for you to sing it with me or sing it with us, okay? Why don't you put that song on, and then the praise team will come up and we'll close the song. You know what the song's going to be, Nancy? Oh, here we are. Let's all stand and sing it together.
Well, old Buddha was a man, and I'm sure that he meant well. But I pray for his disciples, lest they wind up in hell. And I'm sure that old Mohammed thought he knew the way. But it won't be Hare Krishna we stand before on the judgment day. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun, not heaven. Well, I don't hate anybody, so please don't take me wrong. But there really is a message in this simple song. You see, there's only one way, Jesus, if eternal life is your goal. And meditation of the mind, it won't save your soul. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun, not heaven.
All right, here we go.
Well, you can call yourself a Baptist and not be born again. A Presbyterian or a Methodist and still die in your sin. You can't even be charismatic, shout and dance and jump a pew. But if you hate your brother, you won't be one of the chosen few. Cause it won't be a Baptist that's sitting on the throne. A Presbyterian or a Methodist that's calling us home. And it won't be a charismatic that plays that trumpet tune. So let's all just live for Jesus, because he's coming back real soon. Oh, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Mohammed that's calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. And we're going to see the sun.
Oh, yeah.
And not Reverend Moon. And we're going to see the sun. And not Reverend Moon.
Not Reverend Moon.
Oh, yeah. All right. Let the praise team come on up. We want to worship God as we close our service. Isn't that fun now? How many remember that song? How many? You do, really? You don't? I know you don't. How many were not born when that song was? Yeah. You weren't born. How many are lying right now? All right. But you know what? Aren't you glad you serve and you can choose the right one because of a person, a place, and a principle? We have chosen the right one. When we stand before God and he said, why should I let you come into my heaven? And you can say to him, because I chose your son who forgave me of all my sins. And there's no other religion. There's no other person that died for my sins and hung on a cross. There's no other person that rose from the grave to make sure that he sealed the deal for me. And all I had to do was receive it and accept it. Acceptance, not performance. Big difference. So today, If you think you can perform your way into heaven, please, please, change your mind. Let the Holy Spirit change your mind and your heart. Because you can never be good enough. You can never perform enough. If you can perform enough, then Jesus died in vain. All he says is, can you accept what I did for you? By his grace, it says, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. Even that's a gift from God. Lest any man should boast. You can't boast. You can't boast how good you were. So if you're here today and you need to make that commitment in your heart, you need to say, you know what? I thought I could perform my way. I thought I could. If I go to church, you know, 3 times a month, you know, that would be really good. Not about that. It'd be good if you go 4 times. But that's not about it. It's not about that. It's about changing your heart. About looking at God, looks on your heart. You can never perform enough. So if you're here today and you never received Christ as your Savior, I pray that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you through a simple song, through this crazy song. We're not going to see anybody else. We're going to see the Son of God, and see him as your Savior, not your judge. Not your judge. Father, I thank you for your people today, that we can learn that we chose the right relationship. We can have a right relationship with you because of what Jesus did and who he was and our acceptance of him. If there's someone here, God, that has never done that and received him, I pray him or her will just give their trust and their hearts to Jesus Christ today.